Good afternoon, Thomas Villagers and everyone else that's gathered with us this Monday, the first of the month, so the first day of the month. So just like the Bible says, everything is new in God's time, and we're thankful for that. We have a special treat with us today. We've got Brother Tim Vonador from Silverleaf Baptist Church over in Rose Hill with us today, and so I'm not really going to extend too much. I want him to have as much time that he feels led. And so we're not going to go through our announcements or our praise reports. The one thing we do want you to remember is that no one loves you like Jesus. No one's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll open your life to him today, he'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. Also, don't forget this Sunday, June 7th, we'll be opening up the doors of the church for worship in the sanctuary. We want to remind you, wear your gloves, wear your mask, whatever you do to feel protected. But also, if you don't feel like you can come in the church yet, we're also going to have some speakers out front so that you can come and be on the property and we can worship together. There is two special prayer needs today. Number one, Sister Ruby Keck, been some issues with her today. Last we heard, she was doing all right. We're thankful for that. And then also, there seems to be some complications with Brother Wayne. And just really coveting your prayers for both of them and lifting them up as well. But if you have any prayer needs, just lift them up right now. God knows them. We want to remember the lost. We want to pray for our country with everything that's going on there. And continue to pray for your pastor and your deacons and as we try to figure out how to maneuver through this time and just do what's right in the eyes of the Lord, but also honor the powers that be, all right? But let's have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to bring up Brother Tim, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you have given us a brand new day to live for you, meaning that you've got a purpose and a plan for our life. And so, God, I just thank you that you're in control. Thank you, Lord, that we're getting closer to the end of this pandemic. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, for those that have lost loved ones. We pray for those that are even sick right now. God, we think about Brother Wayne and Sister Tammy and Virginia and Katie. Lord, we just pray that peace and wisdom be on them today, Heavenly Father, Lord, knowing that you're in control and that if you love them enough to send your son, then Lord, there's nothing that you won't do. We pray for Brother Keck and Sister Ruby today, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you be with them. And God, we pray again, Lord, that for those that don't know you, that today will be the day of salvation. But God, right now I pray for my brother. I pray, God, that you be with Brother Tim. Let his heart and his mind be clear and let the word be spoken in truth. And God, we give you all the praise and honor and glory. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Tim Vonador from Silverleaf. I almost said Thomas Village.
God bless you. Thank you, brother. Good evening, folks. I'm glad to be here tonight. It's always good to be here at Thomas Village. Always feel comfortable to be here. You have an awesome pastor. I'll say that, Ben, he's walked out for a minute. Don't want to give him a big head or anything like that, but I love your pastor. He's a dear friend of mine and my family, and I reckon his wife and the kids are all right too. No, the whole family is very special to us, and for the ones that don't know, we served together at our former church, and so we kind of moved up together, a little bit separated apart, but Brother Ken does a good job and some others of keeping him straight and everything, being he's a little bit further away from me than he used to be. Tonight I want to preach from the book of Psalms, chapter 63, Psalm 63, just a couple of verses tonight. During this pandemic that we've been going through, it's revealed to pastors as I've talked with them and we've discussed kind of, what our hopes and what our desires are for what what the end results are of what we're going through. And, you know, I truly, my prayer is that we come out of this thing better than what we come into it. And what I mean by that is I pray that our churches truly begin to appreciate the ability to come to church any given Sunday without a mask, without a fear of catching something or anything else. That's sincerely been my prayer. But tonight, the book of Psalms, 63, and I'm just going to read a few verses tonight, then I'll get to the message. David's speaking here, and this is his prayer. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. Lord, I just ask you to touch those that are watching tonight, Lord. Just speak to hearts and mind. Lord, we pray that if there be one that's lost tonight, that they'll come to know you. Lord, we just be sure to give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Here, David tells us of an intense thirst that he has. Now, this psalm that is being that's sang here, at this point, he is in the wilderness of Judah. And he has fled to escape Saul because Saul is seeking to kill him. He's wanting to take his life. So David is on the run. So, and through this, we would, you know, we as humans, we would probably just, we would cry out to God too, but it would probably be more of, Lord, save me from this or keep me from going through this. But no, David's cry was a little bit different. Now, being in the wilderness, I'm sure that David was in dire need of water. He was probably hungry. He was probably lacking from sleep because, I mean, he's in the wilderness. I took the kids and my wife, and the kids have been wanting to go camping for a long time. So I said, I went and I bought the tent, didn't tell nobody, went and bought the tent. And Brother Brian, I'm too old to sleep on the ground, so I bought me an air mattress. And so we did this thing up right. I brought the TV outside. We watched movies and had a campfire, and just we had a good time. And we were doing okay until 12, 1 o'clock, and we started hearing the coyotes and all start. And the kids were okay, but Sierra, she didn't like it. And then the kids didn't like it. And I said, well, I'm not going to sleep out here by myself, so I'm going inside too. I'm not going to lack from sleep. But through all this, we see a cry out to God because of all out of all the things that David could have wanted for or cried out to God for, he thirsted for God. Church, I want to ask you, are we thirsty for God anymore? I believe there's so many churches today that have all just lost their thirst. They've went dry. They don't have the hunger and the thirst for the things of God like they used to. We talk about wanting the church of old. Well, folks, we don't do the things of the church the old did to get the results of the church of old. But I wonder how many of us thirst for God like somebody that's going through the desert. Thirst for a drink of water. So how thirsty are you tonight, church? What's your thirst like? Do you desire to know God better? Do you desire to be closer to Him? How about your passion? Do you desire the things that God desires for your life? We asked the question yesterday in our Sunday service of what has God shown you through this time that we've been in? And I challenge you to speak up, because I'm sure Brother Brian is going to ask you something similar to that this Sunday when you meet back in this sanctuary. And I'll be praying that all that goes well and that you appreciate it the way that you should. But folks, we need to be thirsty for God. Thirsty for God. So tonight I want to look at three types of thirst. Three types of thirst. Now I'm going to speak to everyone tonight. I'm going to talk to lost people. I'm going to talk to saved people, and I'm going to talk to saved people that have backslidden and have fallen away. So tonight, the first type of thirst that I want to talk about is the thirst of an empty soul. So if you're lost tonight, your soul right now is empty. You're seeking to fill your life with the things of this world, and yet you still seem empty. You try to quench your thirst with working hard and just filling your bank account. You try to quench your thirst with your power and authority and the position that you're in with work, with sports and different things other than church and God. You try to fill it your life. You try to quench that thirst through drugs and alcohol. But can I tell you, what you need is not in a bottle of any kind. What you need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. You need Him as your Savior. No matter what you seek to fill that emptiness, no matter what you try to quench your thirst, if it is outside of Jesus Christ, you are going to always feel empty, because you're not going to find anything on this side of glory that's going to fill you up. Everyone that's listening tonight has experienced this thirst at one point or another. We all had the thirst of an empty soul. We knew that there were more, but we weren't being filled. So I ask you tonight, reflect back. If you're saved tonight, reflect back on that time to where you were truly filled through your salvation. And if you don't know Jesus tonight, I know Brother Brian says this all the time, but nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. And nobody's ever going to love you as much as Jesus loves you. So if you'll give Him your heart tonight, He'll take it and He will completely fill you tonight and save your soul. But Christian, the day that God quenched your thirst, do you appreciate it? Do you appreciate it? We talk about thirst in John chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. Jesus answered this woman at the well. He says, "Whoever drinketh of this water will thirst again." He was talking about the water of the world, the natural, what the things that the earth provides. But He says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Christian, aren't you glad that you found the living water through Christ Jesus tonight? Lost person, God can completely fill you with that same living water tonight if you just cry out to Him and give Him your life. There's by only one way that you can be saved, and that is through the name of Jesus Christ. Second, moving right along, I want to look at a different type of thirst. And this is the thirst of a dry soul. Now this is going to be talking to the backslidden, okay? Now you may ask, what is the difference between an empty soul and the thirst of a dry soul? Now an empty soul is one that has never accepted, that has never been filled. But a dry soul, I'm going to relate it as to that of a Christian. A child of God that has either fell out of fellowship with God or has become lukewarm in their relationship with God. Folks, we talk about wanting revival, but there's too many dry soul Christians out there. Now, all of us that are saved go through dry spells. We all go through them. Me as a pastor, I know you're a pastor. We're very transparent. There's times to where we're dry. The barrel just comes up empty sometimes. We just feel like we need to be refreshed and renewed. And Sunday school teachers, song leaders, it all happens to us. We all go through dry spells. We all go through times when our passion or our enthusiasm, or even our fruitfulness and our service to the Lord is not as much as what it once was. Think about the day that you got saved, Christian, and how much you were just eager to be in the house of the Lord. Do you still have that same thirst to be in service each and every Sunday and Wednesday and whenever you're needed for service? And if it's not, then you have become dry. And if that's where you are today, Jesus can fill you back up too. Maybe the water that was once flowing through you is just kind of a trickle now. So ask yourself these questions. Because God's not changed. God has not moved. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So if things have changed, it's something that we have done or neglected to do. So ask yourself these questions. Just check them off. Have you been neglecting the Word of God? Is your study time the same as what it once was when you first come to know Christ? Or have you been neglecting prayer time? How about your attention to the things that are going on? Are your attentions going to worldly things or godly things? I've been talking over the last couple of weeks to our church about distractions. Satan is a liar. He's the chief of all liars, and he is doing a really good job distracting us from what we really need to be concentrating on. Right now, we have the coronavirus, and now we have the rioting in the streets, and we have murders that are just absolutely senseless, and our heart goes out to those tonight. But it's a distraction, folks. It's a distraction. Satan has got us right where he wants us, and we're not concentrating on God anymore. We're concentrating on everything that's going on in the world. How about sin? Has the sin that God delivered you from found its way creeping back in? Or maybe you're in your comfortable spot. God is speaking to you to take you to a different level, but you're comfortable right where you're at. Is your soul dry tonight? Christian, we've got enough Christians that are just sitting on the bench that is not serving. The church needs each and every one to serve faithfully, wholly, and completely. Are you where you should be today? Is the thirst that you're desiring the thirst for the things of God or for the things of the world? Can I tell you, if you've fallen away, God's not changed. He's never left. And if you seek Him, you'll find Him. We're told that in the Word of God. Jeremiah 29, verses 12 through 14. Then shall you call upon Me, and you shall go and you pray unto Me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek Me and find Me when you shall search Me with your whole heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. You see, the problem is we're not searching for God wholly and completely. We just want Him when He's convenient. So how thirsty are you, lost person? Are you empty tonight? Christian, are you running on empty? Are you dry? And thirdly tonight, and I'll try to wrap it up with this last point. I want to look at the thirst of a satisfied soul. A satisfied soul. Now, how can a soul that is satisfied still be thirsty? Now, I know I'll get an amen out of Brother Ken and Brother Brian out of this because we're talking about food. And we've been talking about food for the last few minutes. They've been talking about barbecue, and Brother Ken has been talking about this place that's really close to me, and I'm going to go sample it here before long. But I'm just going to use potato chips for tonight, all right? This is going to be my illustration. If you're sitting at home, do you like potato chips? I love them. I used to like all the different flavored ones, but now I've got to where I'm back to the basics. I'm just an original Lay's man. I love them. But now how many of you can open that bag and eat one chip? And if you say that you can, you're lying and you need to confess and you need to be on the altar Sunday. How many of you can open that bag and just take one chip and just eat that one and not eat another one? Nobody does that. Nobody does that. You have one and you want another one. And you want more, and you want more until you consume the whole bag. You see, that is how it is with the satisfied soul. You have seen, you have felt, you have witnessed how God, how the goodness of the Lord can be, and you want more. You know how good it is when you get in your prayer closet and the Spirit of God just wraps His arms around you, and you want that more and more. Why? Because you've been in the presence of God, and you want more of it. Your soul cannot be satisfied, and you just want more and more, and this is the only good form of not being satisfied, is when you can't get enough of God. You long to get closer to God. You thirst to get learn more about God, to serve God more. Look at these first two verses again. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. I get the sense that David could not wait to get up each and every day just to where he could spend time with God. Now, I know that there was times where David was not in the place that he should be, but we all had those times. But at this point in his life, he thirsted after the things of God. Can we say the same about us tonight? Could we say the same about us tonight? Do we look forward to getting up and spending time with God? Church, do you look forward to Sunday morning? And even though you may have to get up early, but do you look forward to getting up early and going and worship and a living God? Have you experienced that fullness that only God can bring? I tell this quite often. I encourage each and every one of you at some point in your life to go and be a part of the worship service at Camp Jubilee with Brother Ronnie Owens. You can go any night and he'll welcome you in with welcome arms. But just sit back and feel the Spirit fall in that place when true worship happens. During weeks of camp, you're tired. You're wore out. You just don't know how the energy's going to come. But that worship service comes and the preaching comes, and you find the feeling and the fullness of God in that place. And it fills you up to the point to where you know you can press on. And the more you're in it, the more you want of it. It's just like them tater chips. Once you've got God, you want more of Him, or you should. But David, he had a thirst for God. And God wants us to thirst for Him more than anything else in this world. We thirst for the things of the world plenty. The church has thirsted after the things of the world to the point to where the church has fallen off because our thirst has not been on God. It's been on baseball, and it's been on football, and it's been on shopping, and it's been going to Walmart or doing this or doing that. And we should be thirsting on God. The only type of thirst that we need is one that the kind that God can feel. He wants us to love Him, church. And He wants to love us. He wants us to want to walk with Him. And He wants to walk with us. He wants us to have a desire to be personal, to be friends, to be an intimate relationship with Him. He wants us to talk with Him. He's not like us. Men, when our wives just talk and talk and talk, and we listen, but we really don't want you to talk. Now, if my wife is watching this tonight, I'm going to be in the doghouse when I get home. Yeah, but she is. But she knows I love her. I'll say this. I've been blessed with a good wife. And June 1st, 15 years ago, was the first time that me and my wife went out on a date 15 years ago, and we met in church at Yoma's Chapel 15 years ago today. But church, God wants us to thirst after Him. And I want to say this. Our level of commitment shouldn't be based off others' lack of commitment. Just because other people aren't doing what God has called them to do does not give you the reason or the right to not fulfill your commitment to God. You know, when God tells you in the service to clap, you're to clap. It doesn't mean that He's told everybody else to clap. Even if He has told everybody else to clap, if they don't do it, that is on them. But if God tells you to clap, you are to clap. If He tells you to get up and shout, you get up and shout. Don't let others' lack of commitment cause you to have a lack of commitment. I'll close with this. Church, do we desire to see revival in our land? Do we desire to see revival in our land? Then we must thirst for Christ to move. We must desire for Him to move. A young man who went to his pastor one day and asked the preacher, "How can I fully find God?" The preacher asked the young man to go with him to the river. So the young man went to the river, and they got in the middle of the river, and the preacher said, "All right, I want you to go underwater." When he went underwater, the preacher held him down with both hands. Now, this wasn't a baptizing service. This was him trying to drown him. The young man goes underwater. The preacher puts his hands on his head, and the young man starts thrashing and kicking and squalling and everything else, and water's going everywhere. And finally, when he thinks that he couldn't do it anymore, the preacher lets him up. And the young man says, "What was the point in that?" And the preacher said, "Young man, when you desire God as much as you desire to breathe, then you will truly find God." Church, we need God to move in our churches. We need Him to move in our communities. We need Him to touch and to heal our land. But we got to do our part. There's a lost man that a preacher had been witnessing to for a long time. Pastor gets a phone call at bad hours in the morning, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and that's no good time to get a phone call as a pastor because something is wrong. Pastor got the phone call that he never wanted to get. The church was on fire, and it was burning down. Fire department calls and said, "We need you to come." So he gets there as quick as he can. He gets to the church, and the church is burning. And when he gets there, he talks to the fire department and everything, and he looks over, and the lost man that he had been witnessing to and inviting to church was standing there watching. And the pastor walks over to him and says, he said, "Sir," he said, "after all the years that I've invited you to church, you never came. So what made you show up tonight?" He said, "Well, Pastor, I've never seen the church on fire before." And you know, we may think that that's funny, but it's really a sobering thought. The lost in our community aren't wanting God because we're not wanting God. They haven't seen the church on fire in a while. Folks, when we get thirsty for God and we really get serious about wanting revival, then God will send revival. Church, I love you tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. And I hope this has been a blessing to you. Continue to pray for your pastor. Pray for the other pastors in this area. That we are still in uncharted territory. And no decision we make right now is a wrong decision. it's just an unknown decision. We're doing the best that we can at this time. So I love you, church. Thank you for letting me be here tonight, and I hope that I can see you in person soon. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be filled with your Holy Spirit. So Lord, I just pray tonight if there be one that has listened to your word tonight, Lord, and they need to make a decision, Lord, I pray that you, through your sweet Holy Spirit, that you convict them. Lord, you don't let them sleep. You don't let them rest until they get their relationship right with you. Lord, I pray for the backslider tonight, that dry soul Christian. Lord, that they will renew their relationship, Lord, that they'll thirst for you again. And Lord, I pray for the satisfied Christian, the one that's longing for more. Lord, I pray that you just give them a double portion tonight. Lord, just fill them. Lord, help them continue on and help them to win the lost and to reignite the fire of those that have backslidden. Lord, we thank you for Brother Brian. We thank you for Brother Ken for being here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church.